Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us for a scriptural study this morning of the Bible. We appreciate your time at this 8 o'clock time, and we thank you so much for being in touch during the course of the week as to your enjoyment of this program and your study of the scripture with us each Sunday morning. Thank you for your time once again. This is Robert Rawson. I work with the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7458 Highway 4 West of Senatobia, Mississippi. And we thank you for joining with us today for this period of biblical study. You know, there's an awful lot of studies that we have done already in these 13 weeks or so of time that we've been on the air. And during these periods of time, we've talked about faith, we talked about grace, and we talked about God's great plan and work with us as we go through life from day to day. And we're grateful for your time of study about these particular matters. Now let's take a look at the idea of wisdom in the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is filled with the idea of wisdom and how that wisdom is involved with the way that we look at things as well as we go ahead with patience and preparation. Preparation is such a part of life that it tells us there in regard to the preparation that where there is wisdom, there is success. Look at it in Proverbs chapter 10 and down at verse 10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Wisdom brings success to him. The hope is that a person will be ready and prepared for that event that's taking place. During this period of time in the year, we have a lot of people that go to March Madness, as it's called. They're involved with basketball, and it's involved with the time of the year in which the championship teams, or appear to be championship teams, are coming together for final stuff and for awards and for recognition. The Bible tells us that the race is not always to the swift, and the victory is not always to the strong, but time and chance happeneth to them all. In the midst of describing wisdom and the way of life for wisdom to be serving our cause, and preparation and in readiness for the studies, it's also the case that it is for success when we compete or when we have challenges. And when the race is run, the swift that looks so swift and so much in the lead from day to day does not appear always to win. Why is that the case, that the swift is not always going to win? And the person who is very, very strong appears to be the strongest of the whole group. But wisdom tells us that that's not the case. His preparation was of such nature, and the lack of his strength is of such nature, that the victory is not always to the strong. The strong will be a person who does not have that wisdom, does not have that time spent, does not have that recognition that someone else may have been providentially spared or providentially helped with that wisdom that he must have. Look at the idea. The victory is not always to the strong. Just like speed and the race is not always to the one who runs the fastest. In a former race, in a former time, but the person who has the wisdom to keep on preparing and getting ready for something is certainly an important matter with the Lord. Starting out in Proverbs, in the book of Ecclesiastes, as well as the book of Proverbs, is the idea that here is something that we can do. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is where I am, and at verses 11 and following. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to all men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. If people would read these particular verses of the Bible, they would find that if they bet on something to be sure that it's going to win, they would certainly be up in the air to lose, because the victory is not always to the swift nor the strong, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the men, sons of men, are snared in an evil time, and when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There is a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, and besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. He goes on in chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes to say, dead flies putrefy the performer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to someone respected for wisdom and honor. The wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. He shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rules against you, do not leave your post, for counsel, consolation, penalties, great offenses. When we find a way to life that finds the idea in mind that we certainly have bet on something that is really going to happen, it's really going to take place, I know that that team is going to win. I know that those players are going to succeed. I know that everything about it is going to be okay. We find ourselves sadly disappointed, because what does he say there in Ecclesiastes 9 and at verse number 12? When it suddenly falls upon him. He said in verse number 10, number 11, but time and chance happeneth to them all. When you're so sure that there's going to be a success in business and that you prepare little, you do not prepare adequately, you do not prepare thinking about the problems that may come and so forth, then you're going to be a person who finds himself in need. And as foolish people, unprepared, go into that circumstance, without the preparation, and even with the preparation, foolishly to do things, there's going to be a fall. Time and chance happeneth to it all. Think about that just a minute when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and think about His way. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus there noted regarding this matter of His success being the success because he follows the Father's will. He was teaching the Father's message. In John chapter 12 and verse 49, when Jesus said there in verse 48 the following, he that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What does it say now in verse 49? For the words I speak unto you are not my own, but they're the words of the Father. The Father gave me these words to teach you. They are factual, they're true, they're accurate, they're the way that God wants us to go. and I'm going that way. This is the message that I'm bringing to you. The message of the Heavenly Father is the message that I now bring to you. Think about it just a minute. The Father's message is going to be the message of truth, Jesus said. Jesus said, that's the message I bring to you. I don't bring my own message to you as the Son of God. Yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I'm there with the Father. Yes, I came to represent the Father's will. But as a result of that, I look at life and look at circumstances and tell you that I'm going to judge you in the last day, not according to my will, but according to the Father's will eternally. Now, as you come and go, are you preparing your daily walk of life according to what Jesus has said? Because what Jesus has said is the Father's will. And because of that Father's will, He knows that it is true, it is accurate, it is genuine. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, taught His disciples that He would go into the city and that He would be bound by those who were stronger, they would come to Him not because He was foolish in His ways, but because He was there and because they thought they were doing what was right and they wanted to punish Him and they wanted to take His life. Jesus said they will, but they will not succeed in the end. For my Father says, in 3 days, I will rise again. In 3 days, I'll come back. Now, the disciples were not paying close attention to what Jesus was saying. And thus, they did not remember enough, but His enemies there, oh, they were paying attention. In 3 days, He will be resurrected. So after His death upon the cross and taking Him to burial place, they found themselves coming to Pilate saying, This deceiver saith that in 3 days I will rise. They left out the important part of how the Father has said these words. This is the words of truth. This is the words accurate. But they left out that part. They said, He saith that He will rise in that third day. And thus, when Jesus there was in the tomb, they said to Pilate, set a watch before this tomb now. Set soldiers out. Set them up there to watch as they do. And as they do, they will be there to ward off the disciples who may come and steal the body of Jesus away and just say that He has resurrected from the dead. They'll just say that. And because they'll just say that, they'll deceive people right and left. And if you'll do this, set this watch now. As they went forth to do that work, Pilate says to them, go ahead and make it as sure as you can. Pilate said, what? You go and make it as sure as you can. You get the soldiers that you want. You get the men that you want. You get all the circumstances that you want. And you set that watch. You set it up for yourself. And make it as sure as you can. Because when you come running back and say that He told a lie, that He's resurrected, that His disciples stole that body away, you'll be able to convince others that that was the way that it was. But no, they couldn't. They could not find anyone to say, oh yes, it's so. They found an empty tomb there and the grave clothes left there behind. When you think of this, you think about Jesus and His way and the way of the Heavenly Father, and how that the Father's will was the will that He taught. When Jesus went there in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16 at verse 17 and 18, when He went down to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? Well, they began to reply, the various ones. Some say that you are one of the prophets risen from the dead. Some say that you're one of the people who had an effect upon the people of the time, and that they are now raised from the dead. And Jesus was talking to them, and Jesus was saying, my Father's will. I want to do my Father's will. I want you to do my Father's will. I want you to be the person that my Father wants you to be. Are we today following after the steps of Jesus? If we're not following after the steps of Jesus today, what are we doing? We're following after foolish ideas. We're following after one that was not prepared, that said about Jesus that he wasn't really here. But he was here. He was accurate. And as they gave their lives for the study of Jesus' life, and as they gave their lives for the truthfulness of what now was being said about his resurrection, it is the case that they found themselves convicted by the teaching that was being given at that very hour of time. I will rise the third day. What does sin do in our lives? It convinces us that that's the way to do things. It convinces us that's the way to go. We've convinced ourselves already by the challenges that we thought about that if we get away with this sinful deed, this missing the mark deed, that we will find success all the way through, that we'll be fine, we'll be okay. The truth of the matter is that we'll not be fine. Will not be okay, will not be successful, because the Father's will was not that we should do that sin, miss that mark at all. In the midst of all this time of competition, and people being as sure as they can about the brackets, yet within the first weekend of the brackets being played, how many were truly there with the brackets? Just a very small percentage of people that had ventured to guess who would be successful. Was there anybody, can you hold your hand up now? Was there anybody that suggested that the SEC, which was supposed to be so strong and so powerful and so victorious, had but one team, the team from Arkansas, would be the only team left standing to do the competition there? Who can believe it? Who can sense it? Time and chance, Solomon wrote, happiness to them all. They were not so sure that they had question marks, and they put the question marks on that particular bracket. No, they didn't have the bracket complete at all. They found themselves in problems and troubles because of the guesses that had been made. Guesses on strength of character. Suggestions that they guessed on strength of manner. On the star players. They thought that all the other teams around the SEC would be victorious, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And there was but one team remaining. One team, the lowly team of Arkansas, was that team. And yet, if one was to say, I know who's going to be victorious now? I'm looking forward to that win. I'm looking forward to that being the final team. And I'm wishing forward to that being the final victory team. You will be surprised. You will be surprised. It may happen. It may not. Time and chance happening to it all. But some are so sure they'll bet upon it. Some are so sure that they'll bet upon it in spite of time and chance happeneth to them all. That's what Solomon wrote and addressed back there in Ecclesiastes 9 and in verses 11 and 12. Time and chance happeneth to them all. What about following the Father's will? The Heavenly Father's will would establish truth. The Heavenly Father's will would establish factual truth. The Heavenly Father's will would be done in spite of the wiles of man and the various dictates of man, the various times of man, the various successes of man. It would not be the case that that would occur. It would not be the case that that would occur. Jesus would be resurrected from the dead in spite of the best laid plans of mice and men. Found themselves saying to Pilate, "Set a watch, lest his disciples steal his body away, say that he is risen from the dead. That deceiver saith, in his time with us, in 3 days I will rise." Notice that they said what they said about that. They said, "Set a watch now, lest the latter mistake be worse than the first." Be worse than the life of Jesus, worse than the miracles that Jesus could do, worse than the miracles that Jesus could write in the presence of them all, that they couldn't do, they couldn't explain, they could not possibly fathom. Yet there's another that's coming. Another that's coming that will be worse than the first. The mistake will be worse than the first. They call Jesus' life a mistake. A mistake when he came, a mistake when he did the miracles that he did, a mistake when he talked what he did of the Heavenly Father's will. Yes, they made a mistake out of Jesus' work. And now then, if you don't set a watch and guard this against the disciples stealing that body away, then you will be making a second mistake, and it'll be worse than the first. But that's not the case. Jesus was successful because the Heavenly Father had told him what he told him. Jesus told them what the Heavenly Father had witnessed and told them would take place. It is the case that Jesus carried out his Father's will. Going back once again to the passage in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. There may be people who are listening today who in the study have not heard the study regarding how grace is such an important and powerful tool in God's hand. He says regarding Jesus and his will, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men," Titus 2, verse 11, "teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust." Don't let those things rule over you, ungodliness and worldly lust. You'll be successful. You'll be powerfully successful if you do this. You'll be okay. No, the Father's will said, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and denying worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." When that soberly and righteous and godly in this present world, what does it represent? The Father's will. The Father's will coming to pass, the truth there being explained, the truth of the matter being explained vividly. That's the will of the Heavenly Father, and it's the message of the Father, and it's the message that needs to be taught even today. This grace that brings salvation, this favor of God that brings salvation to all men, teaches us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and to live in a positive way, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Think about that just a minute. How much difference it would be in every home and family, rearing every child, going the path that my father or grandfather or grandmother taught me, going the path that they recognized of the Lord's word and the Lord's will. How much different it would be in my life. But no, I'll do my will, and I'll do my will in spite of what's told to me will take place. In spite of that, I will do my will. Well, if you do that, he tells us, if we do soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, we're doing what the saving grace of God teaches us. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Even people who are saved from sin, they find themselves, according to 1 John chapter 1, in fellowship with the Father and the Son. In fellowship with the Father and the Son. They're doing what His will is. They're doing what He says to do. And yet, they find themselves tried and tempted and challenged, and they find themselves going away from God, missing the mark, as it were. They find themselves going away from God, missing the mark, and they find themselves in dire trouble. What do they find? They find themselves in dire trouble. And they're sinning against God, missing the mark against God. And thus they find themselves in need of His forgiveness. He tells them in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 the following. He says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins. I'll forgive you missing the mark. That's the way you get rid of it. You won't get rid of it because you hide it. You pretend it's not there. You fight someone who tells you that it is there. No, I'll be successful against you. And I'll prove to you that it's not there. And thus I'll hit you. I'll assault you. And thus we'll find ourselves victorious. No, that's not the way. The way is forgiveness. And when the Father says, I will forgive you, He says, I will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness. What will the Father do? I will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes, I've said this several times and used it in the close of several lessons thus far, but the grace of God doesn't bring salvation to people who do not pay attention to what it says. Deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the way the Bible teaches us about wisdom, and following the ways of wisdom is the way of life, the way of hope that you and I can have. He tells us to follow that way and do that way, because only that way will lead to eternal life. When you and I find ourselves amiss from God's will, we find that because we did not follow what He has said in His holy word. Use your Bible. Pick up the Bible, read what Jesus says, read regarding the Father's will, because that's what words He said in John 12:49 that He preached. He preached not His own will, but the will of His heavenly Father. Thank you for your time today and your study of the Scripture today, and I trust that you'll come and visit us at the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7458 Highway 4 West of Senatobia, out toward the Tunica side of Senatobia, and invite you to come and be a part of the services this morning at 9:30, at 10:30, and at 6 o'clock this evening. And we hope that you'll come and be with us, if at all possible, today. Thank you for your time. This is Robert Rawson.